Oh my, what a joy it has been to be here all week long. I love the church. The church, so many wonderful things. The family of God. It is a place where God works His vineyard. It is His body. It is His kingdom. The church is a wonderful, wonderful thing. I always feel a need every time I go somewhere to talk a little bit about the church. And one of the reasons is because more than 80% of the people in the United States believe, incorrectly by the way, that you can be a member, you can be a Christian and yet not be a member of any church. And many, many people today talk about the church, yes. Jesus, yes, but the church, no. They want Jesus and they want the grace of God and they want the blessing of God. But they somehow or another don't like organized religion. And I have to tell you, when you think about all the things you see on TV about church, there's a lot there that is not of God. And you know what? I don't want it either if it's not from God. But the church that Jesus envisioned, the church that He loves, the church that He built is a different story. I had a professor talk to me about the way the history of Christianity has been. First, it was in Jerusalem, and there it was a body and a family. And the church then moved to Rome. And when it moved to Rome, it became an empire. And then it moved to Europe. And when it moved to Europe, it became an institution. And then it moved to America. And when it moved to America, it became an enterprise. And so much of what I see in religion today is, look what we have for sale. And it's far different from what God ever intended the church to be. Far different from what God ever wanted His family to be. And today many, many people are experimenting with all kinds of alternative religions, and they're borrowing from this and they're borrowing from that and trying to develop their own religion. And so you have a church here and a church there, here, church there, church everywhere, church. You know, and sometimes it can be very confusing. And it's no wonder with so many different churches, with so many different brands and names and things, that so many people have a hard time believing that God ever intended for it to be the kind of mess people have gotten it into. But when you go back to the Bible, you know the Bible always has the answer. The Bible always has the answer. And when you go back to the Bible and you begin to ask the question, what did God envision the church to be? And you ask the question, what did Jesus think of the church? Then you begin to think of things very differently. Now, I want you to know one thing about the church. There is that part of the church that is divine, and it is perfect. And then there's that part of the church that's filled by people, and it has all the faults that people have. When I talk about the church, I'm talking about the church as God envisioned it to be. I mentioned the other day, I know there are hypocrites in the church. I've seen them, you've seen them, everybody's seen them. And it's a shame that they're there. But you know what? Most folks in the church, just like us who are gathered here, I would say most of us are not hypocrites. Now, every one of us have our weaknesses and our faults. Wish we didn't have them. But a hypocrite is a pretender, somebody who pretends to be something that he doesn't intend to be. And I don't think any of us intend to be people who are hypocrites, intend to be somebody who just does things for show without really thinking about what's important and what's real. I became a Christian a long time ago because of the love that I saw in Jesus Christ, but as it was displayed in members of the church. One of the things that makes the church so valuable is that it is the body of Christ in the world today. And there is a little bit of Jesus in His people. And as we study the Bible and as we read and as we grow in our faith and grow in our love and grow in our understanding of God's will, Christ lives in us. Christ lives in us. And the church is the way that people in a fleshly way see Christ. You know, there are times whenever we need a hug with flesh on it. And the church is the way people of God show the love of God to other people. And I'm thankful for the church. I love the church because Jesus loves the church. Now, I have three sons-in-law, and they're very fine young men. But you know what? I don't think I would have learned to love those young men if my daughters had not loved those young men. And I can begin to love them for what's inside of them because my daughters did. And they saw things in them that were wonderful, and they were happy to marry those young men. And I'm very proud of them. But you see, whenever you love somebody, you learn to love the things of the person that you love. I learned to love Jackie's family because I love Jackie. And I learned to love my sons-in-law because my daughters loved them and because of the way they treated my daughters. I appreciated that. And that's the way it is with the church. I love the church because Jesus loves the church. Now I want to say first of all that the church was Jesus' idea. I didn't think it up. The elders didn't think it up. The preachers didn't think it up. We didn't dream it up. Jesus is the one who thought up the church. You remember it was Peter who said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus responded in Matthew 16, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven." And then he said, "Upon this rock, that is upon the fact that he is the Christ, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." Jesus built his church. It belongs to him. Doesn't belong to me, doesn't belong to you, doesn't belong to the elders. It belongs to Jesus. This is His church. Not only did He build it, but He paid a very high price for it. In the book of Acts, whenever the Apostle Paul called for the elders of the church of Ephesus to come and visit him down by the shore, and they came and he said to them how that the Holy Spirit had made them overseers and that their job was to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Now, I don't know about you. There have been a few times when I've purchased a few things with dollars. Jackie and I, a number of years ago, bought a house. And every month we still pay for it. And maybe for a long time. But we bought it with dollars. We bought it with our work and sweat and all of that. Jesus didn't buy the church on the time plan. He didn't buy it over a long period of time. He purchased the church with the cost of his blood in one day. And he bought it on the cross. and he knew what he was doing. Let me tell you something. How much money would you take? How much money would you take if you laid your hand down on this table and I took a nail and I put a nail through your hand? Would you do it for money? Probably not. If I asked you, would you do it for something that was even more precious than money? You might. Would you do it for your family? You might. Jesus loved his family, which is the church, so much that he allowed men to take his arms and spread them wide and put nails through them and nails through his feet. And they lifted him up and suspended him between heaven and earth until he died. Jesus didn't just love the church a little bit. He loved the church enough to purchase it with his own blood. I'm telling you, when you talk about the church and you talk about Jesus, you can't separate them. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11 says that Jesus is the foundation of the church. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 22 and 23 talks about how that Jesus is the head of the body, which is the church, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, I don't know about you, but if you separated my head from my body, I wouldn't be alive. A head without a body isn't complete, and a body without a head isn't complete. And as close as the head is to the body, even so Jesus is that close to his body, the church. You don't separate them. You know, whenever I married Jackie, I married into her family. That meant there was a sense in which I was kin to her mama and daddy and her grandmothers and her brothers and sisters and all their kids. I got a pretty good deal. She didn't do so hot. But I got a pretty good deal. Let me tell you what, when you marry into Jesus, when you become one with him, that means you become one with everybody that he's one with. But you know what? If he loves them, he also loves you. And if he loves you, he loves them. And when I love him and I choose to be one with him, I choose to be one with everyone that he is one with as well. The church is so important to Jesus. Ephesians chapter 5 talks about how the church is the bride of Christ. Now let me tell you, I don't mind you saying something about me, but don't you downgrade my wife, not in my presence. Don't you insult her or slander her or talk ugly about her, not in my presence. I don't appreciate it. And you know what? Whenever people speak ugly about the church, don't you think that hurts the Lord Jesus too? If he had gone to the effort to build it, if he had gone to the effort to purchase it with his blood, if he had gone to the effort to be the foundation of it, if he is a head to the body, in other words, everything that happens into the church is under him and under his control. Everything that happens in my body, the brain is telling it what to do. And there isn't anything that goes on in my hands, anything that goes on in my liver, there isn't anything that goes on in my little toe that the brain hasn't had something to do with it. You see, God is in charge. And just like Jesus is the head of the body, so Jesus is in charge of everything in his church. Oh, sometimes people get rebellious and want to rebel against him and do the wrong thing. But you know what? It's always still his church and it belongs to him. Now, if you want to be a part of Christianity, you're going to have to be a part of the church. I like the statement in Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. My friend, if you want to be holy and blameless before God, the way to do that is to be a member of the church. You see, the church is made up of people who are the saved. The saved. You remember it says in verse 23, the husband's the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. If you've been baptized, and you've been saved, the Lord has added you to his church. That's how a person becomes a member of the church, by being baptized. And when one is baptized, the Lord adds him. I didn't join the church. The Lord added me to his church, the one that belongs to him, the one that he purchased with his own blood. And you know what? I don't want to be a part of any other church. I don't want to be a part of anything except the one that belongs to Jesus. The one that's his. The one that he died for and the one that he cares for. The church was created as that family of the saved for a purpose. And if you really want to know about the church, I would say that the church is the only hope that the world has in being able to hear the blessed good news of salvation in Christ. It is the church's job to take the gospel to the world. And it's the church's job to tell everyone about Jesus and about his love and about his blood. And the hope of the world is the church. The hope of heaven is the church. It's in the church as they do the work that God gave it to do. And that's why more important than all the schools, more important than all the hospitals, more important than all the universities, more important than all of the military, the one thing that God gave to bless this world with eternal life, the one group of people is the church. Amen. Preaching the message, doing his work, loving people. And the greatest hope of any community is the church. The greatest love in any community is still the church when it functions the way God intended for it to function. Not some kind of enterprise, not some kind of country club, not some kind of entertainment venue, but just the people who are the body of Christ, who love Jesus, and who work knowing that God is working through them loving others. That's the way God intended the church to be. Amen. And when the church functions the way God intended it to be, it is the greatest thing in all the world. That's the kind of church this congregation aspires to be. What God intended. What God intended. And insofar as it does that, it is blessed indeed and loved indeed by God. And from just one week of seeing all the good that it does, I know that God is with his people here. And if you would be added to the people of God, if you would be a part of the church that Jesus died for, if you would be a part of that blood-bought body that works for God and serves others and loves others, be a member of the church. Now let me make one last point. The church was never some nebulous thing out here in ideology. The church, as you read about it in the New Testament, was every time found in local congregations of people working and functioning together. You don't ever read about a person being a member of the church at large out here all by himself. Oh no, when people were members of the church, they were a part of a local congregation that was gathering together on a regular basis on the first day of the week, singing praises, communing with the Lord in the Lord's Supper, praying together, studying His Word, and all the prayers that would go up. Prayers for each other, and prayers of thanksgiving, and prayers of love, and prayers for others. That's what churches did, and they preached the gospel, and they loved the people. And the reason why the church is so valuable is because that's the way God works in the world today. You can read the New Testament all the way through, and you will never find anything that God ever established to do His work and to do His will except the church, as it was found in local congregations in various cities from place to place. That's why being a member of a local congregation is so important. It's not only God's will that you be saved, but it's also His will that you be added to the church. And that as you are added to the church, that you function with a group of people in a local congregation. And I'm thankful for the Palm Beach Lakes Church of Christ. Palm Beach Lakes is where we are. And Church of Christ is what we are, not a denomination, but just simply a congregation of people who belong to Christ. Not a title, but just a description. May the Lord bless this congregation always. Amen.